would you stand? We thank our young people for doing such a great job. Didn't they do a great job? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, before we go any further, I just want to make one announcement. We've got a lot of kids in here, and some are up close to the front. And listen to me now. No running in and out. This morning we had some that went in and out 3 or 4 times. So the ushers, if any child goes out one time, that's all right. If they go out the second time, don't let them back in. And parents, if your child doesn't come back in, you go get your child, okay? Because, you know, any time the child wants to go out, if you allow that child to go out, then you're not teaching that child anything. That child can sit through a service. If they go out one time, that's permissible, but just in and out, in and out, in and out, while the word of the Lord is being spoken, is very disrespectful, okay? And it is my primary responsibility as a pastor to keep order, even to the point of putting the fear of God in you, if necessary. So, please understand, you know, I have stood here before and called down people that were disturbing. No disturbing, all right? We want God to move. We want God to move in a great way. All right. Now, aren't you glad that Pastor Grant cares enough to tell you that? All right, okay. One big hand for Pastor Grant, okay? I sure love you. Okay. No, seriously speaking, all I'm trying to do is get you into heaven. And there are certain things that you have to do and learn in order to walk a life of holiness and discipline. We have you standing already, but I wanted Brother Ted Kryansky and his crew at Oak Hill to stand. Raise your hand, Brother Ted. And who was with you this morning? Brother Larry? And Ward Meyer, where is Ward? Is he here tonight? Okay. They had, in this extension at Oak Hill, they had 90 people in attendance and baptized 6 in Jesus' name. Great. We thank you so very, very much. Praise God. Now remember, at the close of the service, there will be a special offering taken for Brother Bustard, and we want you to give liberally. This is a way in which he is supported, and we're just so honored to have him. We appreciate so very much his ministry. He's been here. This is his 4th time. He's been here 3 other times. He's ministered in a great way. Last evening, several people were healed. This morning, several people came wanting to give their heart to the Lord. We did baptize 2 this morning. I think we have some to baptize yet this evening. This month already, if my calculations are right, since the 1st of July, we baptized and had filled with the Holy Ghost about 23 people. That's over 1 a day. I thank God for that. And it's men like this that come. And maybe you don't need a healing or anything, but well, you need something. But for sure, when people like this leave, if you do not have a great spiritual need or you don't have a great physical need, you leave inspired to do more for God than ever before. So we all get exactly from this what we need from this if we give ourselves wholeheartedly to God. And Brother Buster, we want you to come minister to us. God bless you. Count it an honor to have you.
And praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Great to be back. And tonight is hit and run. I'll be leaving after tonight. For the wonderful people in the sound booth, Joshua chapter 10, verses 12-13. And 14, and we'll turn there in just a moment. Amen. How many of you have access to the internet? Go on Amazon, under books, put in Morton Bustard. M-O-R-T-O-N, as in salt. Buster, B-U-S-T-A-R-D, not Buster, Bustard. Mustard with a B. And our books will come up. You'll be a great blessing to us, and I promise the book will be a blessing to you. And should the Lord allow me to come back, bring it. I'll autograph it for you. You can't beat that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a great meeting. What a wonderful crowd on this Sunday night in the month of July. I have friends that are just trying to endure the summer in their churches. But I have come into a full house tonight. It's going to be fun to preach to this crowd tonight. If you're a visitor, would you please just slip your hand up and hold up for 1 second so we can swivel our necks around to see you. We're going to give you another hand clap just because you came. We recognize you did not have to come. You chose to come. You had places to go. You had things to do. Tonight would have been a great night for a backyard barbecue. But you chose to come in here with us tonight and worship the Lord, and we're so grateful that you came. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. And to see the visitors who have come back, who are here last night and this morning, that's all you have to do. Just hang in there. Keep coming. God's going to help, I promise you. Amen. Joshua chapter 10, verse number 12, reading through verse 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord when the Lord delivered up the Ammonites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon hastened not to go down until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Yasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Lord Jesus, let some heart be encouraged. Somebody who's just trying to get through life, help me to tell them, you're big enough in Jesus' name. Would you lay your Bible down and give the Lord a big hand clap in the house? Are you going to help me tonight? Oh, that's a good hearty yes. The Bible says to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. I want to begin by telling you tonight that God loves your family as much as He loves any family. He loves your home as much as He does the Grant household or the Bustard household. He just as soon bless your house as He would any house. As a matter of fact, there's no telling what God will do for you in your home if you will just dare to ask Him. Number two, I'm from the old school. I believe in the potential of unlimited, the power of prayer. There's no telling what God will do if you don't mind pushing the envelope. Ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. If you knock, keep on knocking. But whatever you do, don't stop asking, seeking, or knocking. You will find the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is a spirit of fear that is trying to come down over our world and these United States of America. People are filled with fear, especially because of what's coming from the news media. Fear of losing their home, their car, their job. Fear of losing their health care. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I refuse to be filled with fear in 2010. He's just as much Lord today as He was in a day of a good economy. He'll be God when this thing comes and goes. I also would like to submit to you that I believe that we have come to a time when we ought to table small prayers. Oh God, give us men with backbones instead of wishbones. Men who can match our mountains. Men and women who will weep between the porch and the altar saying, spare thy people, oh God. I believe with all of my heart that the reason why the world is in such chaos is because the devil and his angels are filled with fear, but they're trying to superimpose that fear onto you. He knows his time is short. He knows that God's about to do something big. You're on the brink of breakthrough. You might be on the verge of the greatest blessing that God has ever done in your home. You have got to refuse that spirit of fear. You cannot afford to be filled with fear. I've already told you that in our household we practice stewardship. Matter of fact, we take it further than some homes. Not all homes, but we do practice stewardship principles. I'm all for it. But ladies and gentlemen, I do not believe that God is in panic in heaven over the economy. I do not believe that the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico caught God off guard and he doesn't have a clue of what to do. I don't believe that the Dow Jones and the Nasdaq and Standard & Poor's has caused God to go into a tailspin and he's about to call his missionaries off the field because he really can't afford to do it. Heaven's banks are solvent. It doesn't matter what your need. My God will supply your need according to his riches in glory. Keep the sound up. I'm going to try to preach for 30 minutes here tonight. I don't know how much prophesying we're going to do, but I am going to preach some faith to somebody tonight. Somebody has walked in here and you need to hear that God is large and in charge. You have got to hear the mighty works of God. I do not believe for one minute that God is sitting in heaven with Michael and Gabriel and he's paranoid and he's upset with himself, slipping into a state of depression because he did not make the ozone layer thick enough. I do not believe for one minute that we are going to bring this earth to an end. I believe that God has a time when an angel is going to descend from heaven and put one foot on land and one foot on sea and declare that time shall be no more. I do not believe that the seat of power is in North Korea with Kim Jong-il. I do not believe that the seat of power is in Tehran, Iran with Ahmadinejad. I don't even believe that the seat of power is in Washington, D.C. I believe that he sits high and looks low. And brother and sister, I believe that he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister. He's got you and me, papa. He's got you and me, mama. He's got the whole world in his hand. And there's no telling what God will do if you will just dare to ask him. Come on and send up a Sunday night shout. Anything can happen here tonight. That Nazarene has stepped into this building on the side of the highway tonight. There is no telling what will happen if you will turn your faith loose in here tonight. I believe that it's not Mama Nature, but Father God who has everything under control. He told one man, he said, stand up like a man. I'm going to ask some questions of you. Where were you when I put the cornerstone of the foundation of the universe in its place? Where were you when I told the sea, this is how far you shall come, but no further? I believe that he has power to send an east wind on the Red Sea all night and make a way where there seems to be no way. I believe he can bring you soft water from a hard rock. He can rain manna down from heaven. He can give you clothes the last 40 years. I believe he can part the Jordan River. As a matter of fact, I believe that he can cause the sun to go that many degrees that way and so many degrees that way. I believe that he can stand up from the belly of the boat and look into the eye of the storm and say, peace, be still. Ladies and gentlemen, I might as well tell you, the academic community might write me off as being right-wing, illiterate, whatever, but I declare to you that he's big enough. He can supply your every need. But what happened in our text is crazy. It's unreasonable. It goes beyond the pale. It's way off the deep end. But one man
was leading God's people. Number one, do not ask for an extension of time if you have not engaged the enemy in warfare. If you're already not using all the time you have, don't you ask God for one more second. Number two, he did not ask God to destroy his enemies. It would be good if we could pray one prayer and not have to go through another test trial to fight another battle. But that's not the way it is. Our strength is perfected in the arena of battle. What he was saying was, Lord, I'll lead your people into victory, but my skills and strength are not enough. I'm going to need heaven's intervention. I wonder if there's a mama in here tonight that's carrying the load all by yourself. The enemy wants you to throw in the white towel, but you're not about to do it. And you're just asking God, oh God, whatever it takes, let heaven step in and move in my home. This man, Joshua, put his reputation on the altar. Stop worrying about becoming fanatical. Stop worrying about becoming too radical. You can't pray a prayer God can't take care of. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I still believe it. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall speak unto the mountain, be thou removed. It will be plucked up, cast into the sea, out of sight, out of mind. But this is radical. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the sun cannot stand still. Neither can the moon stand still. Let's just consider some facts. If the sun and moon stand still, we're going to have to deal with photosynthesis. We're going to have an agriculture disaster. We're going to have to deal with ultraviolet rays. And since I hail from Eastern Canada, where that has the highest tides in the world, 60 feet high, twice a day, the tides go out, and you can walk on the floor of the ocean. But at evening time, twice a day, the tide comes back in. You better not get caught. And the tides are controlled by the moon. Ladies and gentlemen, this cannot happen. Because if it happens, if the sun stands still, you're going to have global warming. Not only are you going to have consequences here on earth, you're going to have chaos in the cosmos. We have space, outer space, deep space. Everything has to work in perfect harmony. The sun and the moon have to stay in the proper sequence and orbit. So as much as this man wants it, it would be insane and inane to declare the sun to stand still. Why and what excuse are you using for not asking God to do something great in your home? What has held this church back all these years from really pushing the envelope and believing God for something huge? Two things are going to happen to us when we cross over into eternity. I will paraphrase the prophet in Isaiah 14. When we look at the devil, according to Isaiah 14, when we get into eternity, we're going to look at him and say, is that the wimp that I let hold me back? Is that the wimp who caused the nations to tremble? Is this the wimp who caused me to be filled with fear? And then we're going to behold the glory and the majesty of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to say, you mean that's the wimp? And you mean I had access to that kind of power? And I held myself back? Oh, God. Come on, bring up the sound up here. I need some more monitors. Oh, God, somehow, some way, just help us to pay the utilities at the church. Stop praying that prayer. Lord, this is our year. You're God in 2010 as you were back in 2006 and 2007. We're not only going to pay the utilities, we're going to expand this campus as God tells us to do so, and we're going to send missionaries around the world. Oh, God, somehow, just help my family to make it. No. My family's going to prophesy just like Joel said. They might be outbound with perversion, looking at pornography and all this junk, pumping chemicals into their veins, but I'm going to pray a big prayer because there just may be a chance that God's big enough. He might be big enough. He might be able to answer any prayer. You might as well cast all of your cares upon him because there is a chance he's big enough to handle every care you can throw at him. That's a crazy prayer. Unless you believe that there's a God who's big enough that he can control the sun and the moon and all the stars. If you really believe that there's a God who spoke everything into existence, it all came about just because he said, let there be. If you believe that God's big enough to do that, why, go ahead and ask him. And he said, son, stand still. And in less than a nanosecond, God said, okay, I'll do it. And there won't be a meltdown in the agriculture industry. And there won't be ultraviolet rays. There will not be chaos in the cosmos because God has this ability. He can work in the heavens and right here on earth. He has everything under his control. It happened just like the prophet asked, and the sun stood still. Ladies and gentlemen, one man prayed one prayer, and the entire population of planet earth felt the result. One man prayed one prayer, and everybody on earth knew something was happening. Are you aware of that earthquake that happened a long time ago, around the early 1900s, around Kentucky? Are you aware of that? How many of you are aware that that earthquake was so bad that the Ohio River flowed backwards, I think, for 2 days? How many of you are aware that there was actually a huge lake that was created as a result of that earthquake? But are you also aware that that earthquake took place when they had that great revival at Cane River, or whatever you call it, up there in Kentucky? A bunch of hillbillies got to praying and waiting upon God, and heaven's his throne and earth is his footstool. All God did was move his foot on the footstool, and the whole earth felt it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were living in close proximity to that valley of Adullam, you had worked all the livelong day, you were exhausted, you had your meal, you were about to retire for the night so that you could catch some Z's and get up and repeat the routine the next day. So you went into the bedroom and you pulled the drape shut and you laid down and you tossed and you turned and you looked up and you thought, this is crazy, and you laid back down, but you couldn't get one wink of sleep because there was a bright light in the sky that would not move no matter how much sleep you needed and no matter how much you wanted the darkness to come. It's not going to get dark today. You best put a blindfold on you because that sun is not going anywhere, because God's not only big enough to cause the sun to stand still, he loves Israel enough that he's going to see that they have what it takes to win the battle. You see, the whole thing about this is not just Joshua. It happens to be the apple of his eye who is in need, and God will move heaven and earth for Israel. if you lived on the other side of the orb from the Valley of Ajalon. You slept all night long. You got up and had your cup of joe. You put on your sandals, your work sandals. You're about to go back out into the field because, man, you've got a lot of responsibilities. You've got to be the breadwinner for this whole crew. Day in, day out, the same old grind. You stepped outside to go to work in the field. Lo and behold, it's as dark can be. Something's going on. This is crazy. You walk back in, pour yourself another cup of coffee. You wait a while. You walk back out. It's still just as dark as it ever was. Pitch a fit if you want to. Cop an attitude if you want to. But unless you can manufacture light, unless you're nocturnal, you might as well go in that house and crawl back under the covers, because that sun's not going to rise in the east today. Because God's people have need of God's light. So you're just going to have to improvise. The day after tomorrow, go over there and wake up that lazy teenager and say, "You're not sleeping in today. I didn't get to work one moment yesterday. We're going to have to pull double time today." Because God's people needed that light. Musicians, get ready. Start coming, because I won't be much longer. This is my weekend of not being long-winded. I began the way I did for a purpose. Because God loves your family so much. There's no telling what He'll do for your family if you'll just ask Him. If you could just see how heaven rejoiced last night and this morning over what was taking place. Bring it down just a bit now. I know the youth want to rock, but just wait. Just keep playing, but bring it down just a second. I cannot define for you the love of God, but one of my favorite old hymns. The entire hymn was inspired because of one verse. This one verse that inspired the entire song was first discovered, scribbled onto the wall of an insane asylum. A man with a terrible case of mental illness. Deep valleys, deep depression. Before he expired, and they carried him to his death. In that deep valley, he wrote on that wall of that insane asylum, "Could we with ink the oceans fill? And were the skies of parchment made? If every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, and the scroll could not contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, how He loves me. God, I got to remind you, Israel is in battle. Israel is in need." So God said, "Okay, stop." And that's all it took. History records Joshua's missing day. But you know what? I don't know how he can do it, but he can do that and still maintain the polar ice caps. He can do that and still maintain the proper level in the ocean. Just might be big enough to heal your body. If he can stop the sun and the moon, he might be able to take that tumor out of your body. If he can do that, he might be able to turn your financial situation around. Why, if he has power over the sun and the moon, he might be able to restore your family. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not astronomy 101. But the conclusion of this little story is this. Galileo and Copernicus were both wrong. For that day, the center of the universe was neither the earth or the sun. The center of the universe was God's people. Everything revolved around God's people. Do you know where I'm going with this? The devil's tried to tell you God's not interested in healing your body and blessing you financially, in touching your home. He doesn't know who you are. I'm as much a seed of Abraham as Isaac ever was. Come on now, come on. Surely you can make this little equation. Surely you can figure out where I'm going. I'm as much a spiritual Jew as any one of the bunch. What I'm saying is, there could be a mama in here that would travail for her home, and tonight you might become the center of the universe. He'll move heaven and earth. Come on and stand to your feet. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. I'm just seeing if anybody is getting this. I'm seeing if anybody really believes that God would do anything he had to do for your home. I'm seeing if anybody would actually believe that they could become the center of the universe. Nothing more important than seeing that your home gets saved. Go ahead and ask him. Go ahead and ask him. Hallelujah. Allah bahashakata la bahariyana bahariyana. Go ahead, mama. I don't know what all your needs are, but just don't be one bit bashful. Don't be one bit shy. I love this. The invitation hasn't even been extended, but yet they're coming. Are looking at the Almighty right now, wondering what he is going to command them to do, because she has the audacity to ask. Why don't we do it? Oh God, shake Wisconsin. Oh God, shake Madison. We come against every principality and power in the name of Jesus. I'm sick and tired of the enemy dictating to my home in the name of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus over my home right now. You told me that I've got power to bind and to loose. And if I would do it on earth, it shall be done in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against that spirit of poverty that is trying to bind your home. In the name of Jesus, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and with it he addeth no sorrow. Get up here. If you need deliverance, get on down here. If you need the Holy Ghost, get on down here. If you need God to do something in your home, get on down here. If you need a financial breakthrough, get on down here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He just might be big enough to take care of everything you can throw at him. Thank you for ministering to each other. Thank you, fellow ministers, for helping me out. Ministers, would you just begin to walk through the crowd?